We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm so excited about always talking and bringing awareness to charities. And I'm really excited to, can you imagine you're a novice or a seasoned songwriter, but no one has ever heard any of your music you've written. So I'm really excited to have my two guests on, Pam and Paige, today. And we're gonna talk about this. It's such an important thing. And we're going to talk about musical charity. So I appreciate you both stopping by. And it's so important. And I've had this conversation about songwriting on one of my podcasts and radio shows and TV shows before, especially about the songwriting show that was on NBC. I highlighted that on my on my network at one point in time, and how we really don't know about songwriters and the challenges they go for. So I appreciate you two both stopping by. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You know, so Paige, how and why did you come up with the idea for musical charities?
Well, I'm in the dog business and I retired, and I always knew music would be in my retirement future. So I met Pam a few years ago, and Pam is an absolute incredible entertainer, musician, songwriter. I've been involved in some of the circles of songwriters in Nashville and other places. And I'm an amateur, but I'm a good promoter, and they're professionals and not very good promoters. So we kind of put each other together, and I said, I can do this. I can help do this. So we created Musical Charities. Our number one goal is to support our musicians. They've had a very hard few years because of the COVID, and we want to put them back on stage in front of an audience, and then whatever we raise, we help our communities.
Well, what I was talking to Pam off air is, Paige, you are a promoter, and congrats. And you know, you had your business before. Any entrepreneur, business owner knows how to promote, because if you can't promote, you're not going to have a successful business. And so when you see specific things that are you're passionate about, as entrepreneurs and business owners, we just flock to those people. We want to work with those people because we're excited. It's doing something that's giving back. It's doing something that there's a need in the community. And so, Pam, when Paige and you guys met, did you know it was a perfect fit in what you guys would do?
I think so, because as we were talking earlier, we're sort of opposites in the sense that she's super confident and always positive. And I tend to almost apologize if I'm going to invite someone. You know, I'm always like, well, you know, well, you'll probably be busy. You probably wouldn't want to come, but it might cost too much. Well, I could see if I could get you in for, you know, and Paige is like, she's like, you like live music events. You need to come to this. These guys are great. So we had a complete opposites attract for working together. I mean, I've told her from the beginning, Paige, you'd make a great manager, you know, because she has that very thing that I don't, and I don't like to be pushy. I don't want it, not that you're pushy, Paige, but you know, I don't like to, I'm always afraid of bugging people, you know? And so, and you got to have that forward sort of, there's a real art to being able to positively invite someone to an event and make them feel great about why they're coming. And that's maybe what you're so special at, Paige, is she's allows people to give back and yet get something at the same time. And in doing that, she supports the songwriters as well. And then all of these generous people who come to the events are very generous with the songwriters, and they purchase our CDs. They, you know, they want to know where they can see us again. And so it's really, this is a cliche, but it's really a win-win situation for everybody.
All right. So, and Paige, when you met Pam, did you think that you needed somebody that is known in the industry to be part of this to help you with how that partnership worked?
I never knew before I met Pam. I never, ever, ever thought I would be involved in music. I was a closet musician. didn't really go anywhere, never expected to go anywhere with my music. It's just a hobby. But if you ever hear Pam perform, I don't know if you know her background, and
go ahead and tell us her background. I'm intrigued by it.
Okay, I'll tell it because she won't. So Pam's been a musician ever since, you know, she was a little girl, and her father taught her how to play guitar and banjo, and she's just thrived. She's a great banjo player. She was
yes,
the,
go on. Yes.
She was the lead singer of Wild Rose, which is a Grammy nominated band, all women's band back in the 90s. They've been on Hee Haw. They've been on all kinds of TV shows. She was on the Grand Ole Opry for 4 years with Porter Wagoner. She has several CDs out. She's just incredible. Right now, she has a number two song on Bluegrass Unlimited. It's number two on the charts. And she's getting ready to release a new song next week, which is an incredibly inspirational song. I just really admire her. And I know that people that I know would enjoy listening to her. And people are always looking. If you tell me to go out and find, you know, see somebody perform, I'm like, yeah, what if they're not any good? You know, so when somebody is excited about somebody and said, you can't miss this person. That's what I try to do with people I know. You can't miss it. You know, when Pam performs and Pam's friends perform and her band Wild Rose came and performed. And she'll say opposite that she's not that great, but she's exceptional.
All right. So I just am impressed. So Paul, you told me before you're a musician, right? You do some music, right?
I'm about the world's okayest guitar player. I am not any expert. I follow. I'm good at rhythm, but lead. If it's not blues, I can't do it. I'm a lead. So, I grew up in the 60s, so my middle name is Music anyway. So,
yeah.
Pam and Paige, I find this conversation extremely interesting, and I want to know more.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, thanks. That's nice to meet you.
Pam's blues, but she's blues grass.
That's good.
Yeah, so, I don't understand all the scales of blues. I hear what to do, but I don't know what I'm doing, which is kind of the way you grow up playing bluegrass. You do it all by ear or by taking lessons, which is what I started doing at 14, learn how to play the banjo. And then you just get people to show you licks. Is that how you learned with guitar too? You got people to show you licks?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No, I actually had 10 years of training. That just got me to the okay part. I don't think as a musician you ever stop learning. So, and there's so many different ways to learn and to do. And if you're playing it, I'm listening. That's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm more inspired these days than I have been ever in my life. And that's who would have dreamed at this age, after a career in music and then a career in academia. I work at a college. I'm close to retiring, but I've just found a new music team with a church that I'm playing with. And one of the women is a Irish flute player. And so we're working up these old hymns with banjo and Irish flute. And it's so fun to create. And I've got this new album coming out, and it's just a blast to be in the studio again, you know. And I'm kind of glad it's happened like it has, Inch by Inch, which is the name of my new single. But because it makes you appreciate every little thing in every phase instead of everything happening at once. And then and it's just been really, I'm really thankful for the struggle, you know. It makes everything super sweet when it happens. And it makes you very sensitive and understanding toward other people who are struggling. And what greater gift could we be given in life than to become a better person along the way, and then therefore be able to relate to our audience better, and then maybe write a song about that and share and connect at these shows. It's just really it's a wonderful place to be right now.
So Paige, when the vision after getting, you know, Pam together, would you, again, you said the need was that a lot of these artists have been hurt based on specific things that have happened, and also how songwriters in general are not compensated correctly for their work. That's what kind of made it. So Paige, like, what does this charity do in a way to help the artists? Explain more about that.
Well, our logo has three daisies on it, and each daisy represents something. We could have put a dozen daisies on it, but the one daisy represents the musicians. They need people to create events, bring an audience, And if they're professionals, we pay them. A lot of times when you do a charitable event, they always ask the musicians to play for free.
Right.
We don't believe in that necessarily. They can always donate the fee back to the charity if they want. But so One Daisy represents the musicians that we're trying to promote. That's our number one mission, is to get musicians back to playing again. Number two is the people that come. They do donate, that we either have ticket sales or just donations or whatever, and they get a great show, a very intimate. We don't do 1,000 people shows, you know. Sometimes we just have 50 people out there on a yard with their picnic tables and things like that. And so they benefit by getting some great music, and their donations benefit because we always pick a beneficiary. And it could be an individual that, you know, something has, they're struggling and they need help paying a bill, or they need a new hot water heater or something like that. It could be a charity that's, you know, needs some support. It could be a family or a business. And so we just pick a beneficiary, and we never give them cash. We only give in-kind donations, meaning we purchase something for them or we pay a bill. So we have, I also had founded a animal rescue many years ago, and I'm retired from that, called Mostly Mutts Animal Rescue. And I ran that for 10 years. So we have called their veterinarian and just deposited money into their medical fund, you know. So we've done animal rescue, we've done Trinity Horse Rescue, we've done farm animal rescue. We took $5,500 worth of musical instruments and art supplies to Scottish Rite Children's Hospital and just delivered them. We actually took one of the nurses shopping and gave her $3,000 to spend in the store, because she knows what the kids want. You know, we don't really know what the kids want. And that was all in honor of a 28-year-old who passed away. And when we asked what we could do for the family, they referred us to Scottish Rite. And so the community benefits. There's nobody profiting off of this. You know, it's just basically helping the musicians pay their bills and helping the community. And when Pam said win-win, it's really win-win-win. But you could also add the small businesses that we support. When we bought the musical instruments, we used a privately owned music store, and they certainly benefited. We used the school box, which a friend of mine owns, and that's all school supplies. They have struggled over the past few years, you know. And so that when we took the person shopping, that the nurse shopping with $3,000, we spent it at a friend of mine's business, and so they benefited. So it's a wonderful concept, and we'd love to take it nationally, you know. We are going to try to specialize in house concerts, which are very intimate. You can have your own party at your own house. Everybody in the world has a birthday.
That's a good idea.
So we would like you to have your own birthday parties. Musical charities will bring in the musician. We will help you organize the party. You know, you decide the beneficiary. You get to choose who benefits. And we just help you have a great party and give back to your community.
And the great thing, Pam, is paying the artists, right? So I, too, was like you in a way. I'm a former professional wrestler, Pam, and that I performed in front of smaller audiences and some nights didn't get paid wrestling, okay?
Yeah.
Nights, So you do the independent wrestling deal. That would be something for you even to expand. The pro wrestlers aren't getting paid. That's for truth. And that they should all be doing charity events and getting paid for their exploits. And so I wrestled down south, Jerry the King Lawler and different things, $40 a night there. Burt Prentice in Arkansas, $50 a night. And that was about 25 years ago. But I think you hear the story of The Rock. But a lot of these wrestlers now, they're wrestling for free as other people in bands. So Pam, this is so important for professionals to get paid, right? Isn't it frustrate you, Pam, when you hear that?
Will you come and play for free? What frustrate me to hear?
That artists aren't getting paid to perform as professionals.
Well, I actually have always been paid as a professional, but I've never gotten rich from it.
But what about the other ones who are starting and they're professionals and they this thing that helps these artists to get gigs and to get paid? A lot of them working for free.
Well, I mean, I'm all for people being allowed to go out and play for free if they want to, because they feel that it will help network their music. It will help network their musician connections for other with players. They might meet someone they can form a band with. I don't think we should stop that. And Tennessee is a right, as a state where you can do that. But as a musician that's part of the American Federation of Musicians, I also really respect that our musicians union has really rallied to get a good fair pay when you do play events or on TV. So I've always, when I moved here in my late 20s, you know, and joined the union, I've always just taken the music thing really seriously. And yeah, I would go out. We used to drag a horse trailer behind us and play in bars in Kansas or wherever. We would literally, it was so much fun. We would just drag our, we had a van, and it what did it do one time? I forgot what it was called. Vapor locked. It vapor locked on us on our way to Canada. And we had to ride all the way back with
Speaking of vapor locked,
the hood was completely off. The hood was in the back with us. And so here's our engine exposed, and we're hauling a horse trailer with all of our gear in it. And when you look back, it's like those are the funnest times, really.
Oh my gosh. I remember the days where I would go wrestle in Canada with Rhino and all these guys now in WWE, and we would travel, and we'd be in a school bus to go all the way to almost the border in Canada, yeah, where it's French speaking in Ontario. We didn't Yeah, and it was like 17 hours from you know, London, Ontario to wherever. I remember these travel, but I remember these days. I remember the traveling from Grand Rapids all the way to St. Louis, then St. Louis to Chicago. And yeah, it was
so. Well, and you don't mind doing it for a little of nothing when you're young, because you're all living together, maybe in a house together, and your rent's only $25 a month.
We live in a hotel together, and that's what we do. And because we're wrestling, we're doing our dream. We're doing that. Yeah, we're young. Right. That our dream and all that stuff. Yeah. So,
but no, I think that I've always respected Paige a lot with the musical charities events, in that, you know, I've even told her, you don't need to pay me. You know, I want to help you grow this and that. And she's like, no, absolutely. You know, you need to be reimbursed your gas and your time. And by you coming, it's helping bring a crowd in and raise money. And so, like, I think the big term there is respect, treating songwriters and artists with, and like you say, as a wrestler, with respect for what you do for your art, and not just try to take advantage of you and, you know, take a cut. You know, can you take a first gig I ever did as a woman who had my own band, went out on my own. And this guy wanted me to take a cut on our first gig. And I shouldn't talk about it. It really hurt my feelings, and it made me mad, because I was basically going to make zero because I was going to pay all my guys, you know, women and men in my band. And we, you know, we'd taken the hall, we'd gone to Florida, and it was a really rainy, cold day. And so they didn't have a great turnout, and they didn't go to the bigger artists that were on the show, like George Jones and Lewis. They were bigger artists, but the little guys, which I was one of the little guys in their book, first thing they do is try to get you to take a cut, you know, and you hear they've signed a contract, doesn't do any good. What, you going to sue them? You know, and it's like, and so I took what they gave me, and my band also said, Pam, here, we want you to have, and they all took a cut. And it really made a bonding, wonderful kind of lasting impression with me, with my band. But, you know, it's just, I love that Paige respects the musician and is thinking not only of the beneficiary, but also the musician as being a beneficiary, that, hey, you know, they got to make money too. And they've struggled a lot through COVID. Many musicians have about lost their rear ends during COVID. You know, I have a day job, so I I did okay.
But a lot of musicians also teach their instrument or voice, and they lost all of that income also. And then, like, you know, sound people and the light people and the you know, the professional people that work with the venues, you know, so we're happy to rent a venue.
All of the food places, the food and beverage,
all of it,
they all lose when there's nowhere to have an event. You know, there's so many people that lose. Yeah.
No, it's what I would say is this just brings me back. Musicians and artists, any type of artist, professional wrestlers, anybody who performs, the challenges. I have stories too. My first ever match didn't get paid, and one of my last matches I never got paid, where the promoter took the money and ran. So we all have those stories. People we have those stories all the time, and they're like, "Where's so and so?" And then one of the wrestlers was involved. Oh, I don't know where he is, and they ended up taking the cut. So it's just it's part of the business. It's tough and all that. So Paul, now did you ever play any gigs yourself, Paul?
No, actually, all my gigs were really practicing on stage for, you know, it's kind of like an amateur night kind of thing. So I didn't get paid for anything I did, but I did it for fun. So.
But so you were on stage. You've done gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and it's interesting. Another one of my clients, one of his in his bucket list was what he calls a wish list, was to start a band. And he did that. So he just sent me the track, texted me yesterday. It's all about our passion and living our passion in so many ways. And I think, Paige, when you retired from your business, you said, I have to do something that's going to keep me busy. You couldn't stay home. That's the thing. People can't stay
I'm not happy
retired.
If I'm not busy.
No, I just turned 50 and I'm never retiring. Because that's not what I want to do. I want to do stuff that makes me happy and I love doing. And that's the thing. If you do, you should never want to retire. If you do something you love the rest of your life. And I'm glad you found.
Well, I've been very, very blessed. People say, "Oh, you do everything." I said, "No, I do tennis, dogs, and music." And what a beautiful life! I taught tennis for 35 years. I've trained dogs. I've had a boarding facility. I did rescue, and now I get to, you know, I'm getting ready to get my second CD out there, but it's just for fun, you know, a hobby. And now I get to hang around musicians like Pam.
Learn from a very good musician. So best place we can go, Paige. And I guess, what is the call to action to people? Do you want them to help donate to the charity, but also the whole idea of going national with these parties? Where can people go? Check out information.
Yeah, musicalcharities.org is the best way to contact us. Go into our gallery, look at some of the videos that we have of some of our events, and you should be able to contact me personally through there. And I will be happy to help somebody just by a phone conversation, or help them however if they need some musicians. Like what we would like to go national is what Pam created, something called the Big Shebang, S-H-E, Shebang. And we had the first concert here, and it was with four of the top women in country and bluegrass, including Donna Ulysses, who was 2022's Female Songwriter of the Year and Songwriter of the Year and Female Vocalist of the Year. Irene Kelly, who Alan Jackson has recorded some of her songs, and she's had 7 number one hits, and Becky Buller, who was first female to win Fiddler of the Year, and of course Pam, and we had them all on stage together. That was a blast. And they're going to do another shebang in Nashville the 31st, I believe, of this
no,
month.
The 30th, 31st, we're part
and
of the
so 10th. If they want
10 Pan South next Thursday, the 30th.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's but if anybody wants to do a big event, we can do some shebangs, you know, and that is just incredible because it's four songwriters that play their own songs and they back each other up musically and harmonies. And it was just
a big shebang.
Oh, it sounds like some shebang, awesome things. People definitely need to contact you guys. It's a pleasure. You brought back some memories, Pam, today, right? About wrestling and some of the horror stories and fun times as well. And, you know,
thank you for your enthusiasm and for your interest in talking with Paige and me. I appreciate it.
No, I enjoy this, and it's good stuff. And enjoy it, guys. Thanks again. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, you're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.